All right, we'll say good morning. Our daf today is Kuf Vav, a beautiful, beautiful daf ahead of us, 106. Our shir this morning is dedicated by Yona and Shushi Ehrenfeld in honor of or in commemoration of the upcoming yard site of Yona's grandfather, Reb Gedalia ben Yaakov HaKohen. We hope that on the merit of our Talmud Torah, his neshama will have an aliyah. And also, as mentioned yesterday by one of our listeners in Boston, Robert Lilienfeld, who is getting married today, Baruch Hashem, who has dedicated the shir in honor of his chasana and in honor of his kala. And halavai, we wish the chasana and kala an incredible mazel tov, and they should be zocha to build the bayis neman be Yisrael.
Amen.
All right, well, so let's begin. We left off. Three lines up from the bottom, actually. On Kofeh Amud Beis, on 105b, Amar Rav Shobar Nachmani, Amar Rav Yochanan, Yonason, my dichsiv, what's the meaning of the pasuk? Ne'emanim pitzei ohei, v'ne'ataros n'shiko sonei. We'll say, what's the meaning of this exceptional pasuk, where the pasuk over here in Mishlei talks about the idea that it is better, literally, ne'emanos pitzei ohei means, it's better to get hit by someone who loves you than to get kissed by your enemy. What's the meaning of that? Tova klalo shekilo achi ashiloni es Yisrael yosu in bracha shebircham bilam arasha. So we'll say because the curse that achi ashiloni was another Yisrael, the curse that achio gave klal Yisrael was better than the bracha that bilam arasha gave klal Yisrael. Achi Ashiloni kila les Yisrael bekana, because remember again when Achi Ashiloni, remember Achi Ashiloni is not cursing Klal Yisrael, he's giving Musar to Klal Yisrael and telling Klal Yisrael that they're going to be punished. So the Musar that he gives them is he compares them to a reed and he says Shnei Amar Vika Hashem es Yisrael kasher yonut hakone b'mayim. The Moshe Olam will go ahead and strike Klal Yisrael as the reed moves in the water. Because the reed, number one, grows in a place of water. And furthermore, when you cut down the reed, it regenerates. And it has many roots. And no matter how strong the winds, there is no wind which could uproot the reed. We'll say the amazing part about the reed is the reed moves with the wind. Because the reed is flexible, it is never uprooted from the earth. It just simply moves with each and every wind. Once the winds stop, the reed still remains in place. We'll say the amazing part is the Navi says, you're going to be tossed about by many different winds, the Navi tells Klal Yisrael. But the amazing part is that you are resilient as the reed. And at the end of the day, you will remain in place. But Bilam HaRasha, even when he gives us a bracha, he gives us the bracha that we should be like a cedar tree. So first of all, the cedar doesn't grow in a place of water. And the cedar does not have strong roots. Furthermore, when you cut it down, the trunk does not regenerate. Now the cedar is a strong tree. So under normal circumstances, even if all of the winds blow, they will not uproot the cedar. However, kivon shenishba bo ruach diromis. But once the southerly wind blows, miyad akarto v'alfachto alpanav. That's when the cedar is uprooted and it falls on its face. So the idea is, on one hand, the Bilam gives us the bracha that they are as mighty as the cedar. On the flip side, again, amazingly enough, the mighty cedar is not as resilient as the small little reed. Sachi Ashiloni blesses Klal Yisrael with the resilience of the reed. And even though, again, Bilam gives them the bracha of the cedar, that bracha ultimately, again, is not what Klal Yisrael needed. So the Gemara says the following. Furthermore, the reed is better. Why? Furthermore, I will say it is from the reed that you fashion the quill that is ultimately used to go ahead and write Sifrei Torah, Nevi'im, and Kesuvim. Quite beautiful. So remember again, continuing with the bracha of Bilam. So Bilam saw the Keni. He saw the Keni, and he continued with his marshal. Amar lo Bilam. So we'll say, who is the Keni? The Keni is reference to Yisro. So Amar lo Bilam the Yisro. So Bilam said to Yisro, Keni lo ha'yisim ala ba'osa itza. So Bilam says to Yisro, you were part of the same council. Right? You have, now we'll discuss what council that is. You're part of the same council. How is it that now you sit amongst the mightiest of the world? Now, Sani Ola means the strong ones of the world. It's a reference to the fact that Yisrael is Moshe Rabbeinu's father-in-law, but also that Yisrael's descendants would sit on the Sanhedrin. So how did you merit this? There are three people, Rabbi Osei, who were involved in the Eitzah, the council to Paro. Elohein, Rabbi Osei, this is talking about the Eitzah, the Eitzah that ultimately said that kol ha'bein ha'yilot ha'yorot ha'shlichuhu. The Eitzah ultimately, again, that they should throw the Jewish babies into the Nile. So Rabbi Osei, there are three people who were involved in that Eitzah. Who are the three people? Elohein, Bilam, Eov, v'Yisro. The three people were Bilam, Eov, and Yisro. Bilam, Shiyatz, Nerag. So Bilam, who gave the advice to throw the babies into the Nile, he ultimately is killed. Eov, Sheshasak, Eov, who heard the advice, but didn't object. Nidon, v'Yisro, and was afflicted with suffering. Yisro, Shebarach, Zachu, b'nei banav, leishe, b'lishkas, ha'gozes. Yisro, Bosa, who ran away, instead of participating in this council, was blessed that his grandchildren sat as part of the Sanhedrin. Shneemar, Umishpachos Sofrim Yoshve Yavetz Tartaim Shematim Sochsim Hey Mahakinim Haboim Machmas Avi Besrach Vuxiv Ubenekeni Chosin Moshe Alov Meit Hatmarim Vais Mashlavi Yomer Oy Miyichia Mishmoel. So we'll say again, continuing on the Psukim of Yisro. So Yisro continues. So Yisro continues to go ahead and literally advance his mashal. And he says, Oy miyichya mishumo el. He says, oh, who will be able to live mishumo el? So we'll discuss exactly what that means. Rashi says, mishumo el, kishemesim HaKadosh Baruch Hu pidyon la'atzmo, umishalim gmulat tzadikim la'asid lavo. So he says, Amar Shem HaLakish, Oy mishemechaye atzmo b'shem kel. Literally, woe to those who go ahead and bring themselves to life with the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We'll see what that means in just a moment. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Oy lo l'uma shetimtza b'shah she'HaKadosh Baruch Hu oseh pidyon libanav. So Bilam says, woe to the nation who finds himself in the middle of things when Klal Yisrael redeems Klal Yisrael. In other words, there's going to come a point when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to redeem Klal Yisrael. And woe to the nation who essentially is oppressing Klal Yisrael at the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings redemption. He says, Mimatel Ksuso Bein Lavi Lelevia B'Shashin Iskakin Zemzeh. Just like it's a bad idea to throw a garment in between a lion and a lioness when they are about to mate. In other words, woe to the person who gets in the middle of the lion and lioness when they're about to mate. In other words, you're going to get yourself in big trouble. So too, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses to redeem Klal Yisrael, and the passion between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael is at its height, any nation that is there who trying to interfere with that ultimately will be swept up in divine wrath. So the Gemara says, Gemara over here quotes the pasuk from Bamidbar, "Vitzim miyad kitim, Amarav libun aspir." So let's take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Va'anu asher va'anu avar. Ad asher katli mikdal mikan ve'elach mishabdi shibudi. Let's take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says the following. Rashi says, Tzim Sfinos Gidolos refers to large boats. The Tzim Miat Kitim Amarav Liba Aspir. Dichsim Hainu Makom Shishmokach. So apparently it refers to a place that has this exact name. So the Gemara is dashing over here. Va'anu Asher Va'anu Avar. Ad Asher Katli Mikdal. Mekan Ve'elach Meshabdi Shibude. Up until Asher, these refer to nations. Ultimately, again, who will visit destruction upon Klal Yisrael. Mikan ve'elech, from this point forward, these are other nations who will be mishabed. Hineni holich lami, locho yatzcha asher ya'aseh ha'amazeh la'amcho. So we'll say, remember again, now we get to the end of Bilam's klavos. So Bilam says, this is now Bilam talking to Balak. I am going to go to my nation, or as Bilam says, essentially I'm done here. I've realized that I can no longer go ahead and curse Klal Yisrael, so my work here is done. But let me tell you, and we'll say that the Lashon over here is very important. L'cha iyatzcha, let me give you advice, asher yaseh ha'am hazeh la'amcha, about what this nation will do to your nation. Now we'll say, what the Gemara says, Amcha la'am hazeh mi boy. Now really what was about to happen over here is that Bilam is about to give advice to Balak about what Balak, what Midian could still do to Klal Yisrael to pull out some kind of defeat. So it should have said, I'm going to go to my nation. Let me tell you now what your nation should do to Klal Yisrael. So the Gemara says, Am Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana ki adam shemakalal es atzmo v'tolo kilalasa b'achirin. It's like a person, I will say, curses himself, but hangs the curse on someone else. Amr Lahem. So we'll say, so Bilam therefore gives Balak the following advice. What's the advice? Eloheihem shal elu sol nezimuhum. So Bilam says to Balak, let me give you a piece of advice. The God of this nation, the God of Israel, despises immorality. Despises immorality. Veheim isavon leklipelishle. Furthermore, Klal Yisrael likes linen garments. So Rabbi says another way of saying. So number one, the God of Israel despises immorality. Jews happen to like nice things. So this is a dangerous combination. How so? Bo v'asi'acha etza. Here's what I'm going to tell you to do them. They're both say, here is the advice that Bilam gives to Balak. Asei lehem kiloim v'hoshib lehem zonos. Make tents, in other words, set up like a marketplace, and put zonos, put prostitutes inside of the tents. Zekinim mibachutz v'yaldam mibifnim. Put the older women on the outside, young women on the inside. We'll say, what should you do? V'imachru lehem klei peshtam. And go ahead and set up a marketplace that sells these linen garments. Asilim klayim mehasheleg klayim mehasheleg ad beisa yishimos. Vahoshiv. See what happened. So asilim klayim. So we'll say. So now the people of Minyan act on Balak's advice. So they set up essentially. We'll say climbing these tents. They set up like an outdoor marketplace, right? With these tents that were selling different wares. And what did they do? Vahoshiv amzonos. So they put the older women on the outside of the tents, the younger women on the inside tents. Now watch this. So it's actually amazing because, you know, there's very little that the Torah Kedosha tells us about like the lives of Klal Yisrael when we were living in the desert. So we know, again, we got man, we know that we traveled, but like in those moments that we were camped, what was life like? So not that it ever really dawned on us to ask, what do they do for recreation? You know, you're in the desert, you'd like to go out with your wife for the night, you know, so where are you going? So the Gemara here says something absolutely amazing. The Gemara says, Klal Yisrael is camped in the desert. Klal Yisrael is eating the man, or whatever else they're eating, and they're happy. The yotz in the tile b'shuk. And they went out. So Midian set up an outdoor marketplace. So the Jews went to walk around the marketplace. Omeris lo azakina, iata mevakeish klei pishtan. So Omeris lo b'shave. So we'll say, so what happens? The Jew would come to one of the vendors, and the vendor would say, remember, all this was strategic. So the outdoor vendor was an older woman. And the old woman would say to the Jewish man, would you like to buy some linen garments? And she would quote him a price. V'yolda omeres lo bepachos shtayim v'shalosh panim. So I'm sorry, v'yolda omeres lo bepachos. I will say, so things haven't changed. So what happens? So the younger woman says, I'll offer you a lower price. So what happens? Shtayim v'shalosh panim. So we'll say, so this happened a number of different times. So obviously, each and every time it would unfold is the Jew would end up going inside of the tent because the quote-unquote merchant, the younger woman inside the tent, was offering him a lower price than the woman on the outside. So this happened two or three times. So we'll say first the widest line, Kufava Medalef. So what happens? This happened two or three times, and then what would end up happening is the Jew would become accustomed to doing business with this younger woman. So she would say to him, why don't you take a seat? Why don't you take a seat? Barla atzmecha, why don't you look around the merchandise, choose what you'd like. V'tzartzuri shayayin amoni munach etzla. And she would have wine. She would have wine out. And what happens? Rabbi says, v'adayin lo nasa yayin shel amoni v'lo shayayin shel nachrim. And obviously, again, remember, this is before the days where stam yenom, right? Where wine of a Gentile was prohibited. So what would happen? There was nothing wrong with a Jew drinking Gentile wine. Amar lo ritzoncha shetishtek hoshil yayin. So she said, would you like to have a glass of wine? Kevan sheshasa, and when he drank a little bit of wine, or a lot of wine, shbar bo, what happened? His yetzahara would be awakened within him. Amar lo, hashmi'ili. And he would say to her, he would try to have relations with her. In other words, he would say to her, be with me. Hashmi'ili means listen to me, to be with me. Hotzia yirasa mitocheka. Amar lo, avad lezeh, she said, okay, but on one condition. Worship my idol. She would take out her idol, she would say, worship my idol. Amrullah, halo Yehudi ani sir. We'll say, this is amazing, right? The Jew is Kaddish, and even in the moment that the Jew is about to do an Aveira, the Jew is still Kaddish, right? So Mamish, this guy is about to engage in an act of immorality with this woman. She says, worship my idol. What does he essentially say? I'm from. So he'll say, right, I'm from, right? What are we talking about? Like, how could I do? He'll say, you have to understand something. This is not hypocritical. This is the godless of the Jew. You see, the Jew, even when he's doing something wrong, still recognizes that he has Kedusha. So just because I'm about to engage in an act of immorality with this non-Jewish woman doesn't mean that I'm about to worship Avodah Zarah. In other words, yes, it's a shtickel, hypocritical. If you're so from, then why am I doing what I'm about to do? But I both say, you know, this goes back to what we just learned in Gan HaEmuna. I'm not perfect. I recognize I'm not perfect. But just because I'm not perfect doesn't mean I'm throwing everything out. So I might be immoral, but I'm not an Ovid Avodah Zarah. So what happens? Amar lo, Uma Ichbas Lecha. She says, come on, what's the big deal? Klum Mevak Shemimcha Ela Pior. So remember again, I both say, they worship, Midian worship Baal Peor. So how do you worship Baal Peor? You defecate on the idol. So she says to him, come on, what's the big deal? It's not even real service. I'm asking you just to go ahead and relieve yourself on the idol. It's not really even such a form of worship. And he did not know ultimately again that the avodah of the idol is like this. Not only that, but I'm only going to let you be with me if you go ahead and you say that you don't believe in the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Shene Amar, Hema Bo Ba Por, Vayinazru Levoshes, Vayushi Kutsem Ba Oavam, Vayeshit Farn, Voshavam. So this was the advice that Bilam gave to Balak Melech Midyan, and this ultimately again is what Midyan did. And Rabbeinu say, this is how Midyan turned Klal Yisrael against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, against Moshe, against Torah, into the service of Baal. Rabbeinu say, there are so many things ultimately again to learn from this particular story. First of all, so many things to learn from Mr. Rabbeinu say about how to be careful with social interactions. See, Rabbeinu say, people think that they're above any kind of temptation. And we think that never would we go ahead and allow ourselves to be tempted by certain things. But Rabbeinu say, just understand, social interactions and alcohol are a very combustible mixture. And Rabbeinu say, a person has to be nisar. Even with your friends, person has to be careful about their social interactions between men and women when alcohol is involved. It doesn't make a difference if it's happening at your Shabbos table. It doesn't make a difference if it's happening at somebody's birthday party. We'll say terrible, terrible things happen when good people just drink a bit too much and are a bit too familiar with one another. A person always has to be exceptionally vigilant with their social interactions, especially when there's alcohol involved. These Jews did not go into these tents for the sake of sinning. They went into tents for the sake ultimately of buying a suit, right? They're buying some linen garments. But lemaise, again, one thing leads to another, and unfortunately, things escalate relatively quickly. That's lesson number one. Lesson number two is we should even realize that even in those moments when we do commit averos, we're still good people deep down. Even when the Jew was about to go ahead and commit an act of immorality, he still wasn't going to become an Ovid Avodah Zarah. Of course, the problem is that once I let myself go into that downward spiral, it just keeps spiraling downwards until I create a hard stop to it. But lemaise, again, even when I do something wrong, I never divest myself of all of my kiddusha. Vayeshev Yisrael b'shitim, Klal Yisrael dwelled in Shitim, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Shitim Shema. The name of the place is Shittim. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Shinas Asku B'Divrei Shtus. No, the name of the place was not Shittim. The name of the place was whatever it was, but it was called Shittim because that's the place where Klal Yisrael engaged in Divrei Shtus. V'atikrena la'am l'zof cheloheihen. So ultimately, again, they called the nation, so Midyan called on Klal Yisrael to serve their gods. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Arumos Pagu Bahen. Rabbi Eliezer said that the Midianite women would simply walk around unclothed. So because they would walk around unclothed, they would entice the Jewish men to sin. I will say, you also see from these Gemaras, by the way, that the Achilles heel of men is just immorality. Again, it's not a chiddush. It's been that way, I think, from the beginning of time, and it still is that way today. It's an incredible idea that this is how they got the Klal Yisrael. Yeshua Omer, Shenasu Kulan Baalei Keryon. That's whenever the Jewish men ultimately were around the Midianite women, either because they were unclothed or just because of their behaviors, the men will become balei keri. They would emit zera just by being around these women. My lashon refidim. Rabbi Eliezer Omer refidim shema. Rabbi Yeshua Omer sheripu atzman medivrei Torah. Why is it called refidim? It's called refidim ultimately again because it's in this place where their hands weaken in Torah. Shnei Amar lo hifnu avos albanim merifin yadayim. Rabbi Yochanan kamakom shnei Amar vayeshiv eino ela lashon sar. So both say, and Rabbi Yochanan points something very interesting. Whenever you see the lashon of vayeshiv. Vayeshev, interestingly enough, always foreshadows some type of tsar, some type of difficulty. Shneamar, Vayeshev Yisrael b'shitim, Vayachala am lisnos al benos mo. So we'll say again, the pasuk says Vayeshev, Klal Yisrael sat in shitim, they dwelled in shitim, and immorality occurred. Vayeshev Yaakov beretz migurei aviv, Yaakov Avinu went ahead and sat in the land of the dwellings of his forefather, and what happened afterwards? Vayave Yosef is Diba Samra. Immediately afterwards is the episode or the breakdown between Yosef and his brothers. Venemar Vayeshev Yisrael be'eretz Goshen. Klal Yisrael dwelled in Eretz Goshen. Vayikrivu Yimei Yisrael Lamos. Yaakov Avinu died. Vayeshev Yehuda v'Yisrael Avetach. Ish tachas katno v'tachas teino. Yehuda Yisrael sat in security. Every man under his vine. Every man under his fig tree. Vayakam satan l'shlomo es hadat ha'adomi mezera ha'melech hu be'edom. Ves malchei migyon harguach ha'aleyem. As Bilam ben Bar, so we'll say, forget this, what's the pshat? Where every single time it says Vayeshev, that foreshadows something negative. So we'll say, Vayeshev doesn't just mean dwelling. Vayeshev means got comfortable. The moment that a person gets comfortable in life and lets their guard down, the moment a person becomes complacent, the moment a person says, oh, I've arrived. I'm good where I am. We'll say the moment you let your guard down for a moment in life is the moment that negative events begin to occur. So Gemara goes weiter. As Bilam ben Bar hargu b'charef, so we'll say they killed Bilam ben Bar. Now remember, this is when Klal Yisrael comes in to Eretz Yisrael. When they come into Eretz Yisrael, so they go in and they kill Malchei Midyan and they kill Bilam. Now both say, now the Shaila is, why is Bilam by Malchei Midyan? Right? Bilam again is a member of Moab. So what is he doing by Malchei Midyan? To which the Gemara says, my boy Hassam, what was Bilam doing with Malchei Midyan? And Rabbi Yochanan shalach lito schar esen va'arba elef shiva me'Yisrael. Oh, what was it? It happened to be that on the day that Klal Yisrael came to do battle with Malchei Midyan, why was Bilam there? Bilam was there to collect his paycheck. Because at the end of the day, he is the one who gave the advice about the immorality. This wiped out 24,000 men from Klal Yisrael. He was coming to collect on payment. What just happened to be the day that he came to pick up his paycheck was the same day that Klal Yisrael was come to do battle with Midyan. So the Gemara says, Amrav Zuch, Rabar Tovya, Amrav Haidu Darmehinshi. This is the famous adage that people say. Gam la azla lamibai karni. When the camel shows up to get its horns, Udni dahavale gaziz mine, the ears that it had are shaved off of it. So we'll say again, works better in Aramaic, as we often say, but the idea being, when the camel comes to get horns, the camel comes to get more than it originally had, it ends up losing what it had from the beginning. So Bilam shows up to get his money for killing 24,000 Jews, and he ends up losing his life. As Bilam ben Be'or, ha-kosim, Bilam ben Be'or, the sorcerer, kosim, why does he call him a sorcerer? Navi, he's a Navi. In the beginning, he was a Navi. And we'll say at the end of the day, he lost his prophecy. Once he went ahead and was determined to curse Klal Yisrael, he lost his prophecy and was relegated to the status of a sorcerer. This is what people say. Misagni vishilti havi aizen legavri nagar. So look at Rashi. Aizen legavri nagar. So we'll say what it means is, misagni vishilti havi, the woman who was literally ishes segvanu misar haisa, the woman who was the wife of noblemen and distinguished men, aizen legavre nagari, now commits adultery with carpenters and those who go ahead and pull boats. So we'll say, apparently, again, a carpenter, people who pull boats are manual laborers. So the idea is if a noble woman is going to commit adultery, the assumption would be that she would commit adultery with someone of her own station. She debases herself even more when she commits adultery of someone of a lower station. Fine. Hargu b'nei Yisrael as b'charev al-chal aleihem. So remember again, Klal Yisrael goes ahead, killed Bilam ben Be'or together with the kings of Midyan. al chalaleim amarav shikaimu bo arba miso skila sreifa herag v'chenek. But I will say, when they killed Bilam, they didn't just kill him, but they killed him, you know, by giving him all the misos bezin. However Rashi points out, so they killed him again by giving to him each and every one of the formal forms of execution. So we'll say there's a particular min who said Rabbi Chanina. So we'll also listen to this Gemara. Amalei Ahumina l'Rabbi Chanina. There was a particular apikoris said to Rabbi Chanina. Nishmei l'cha Bilam bar kam hava. How old was Bilam when he was killed? Amalei Michtav lo ksiv. So Rabbi Chanina says the truth is the pasuk doesn't tell us, but elam midichsiv anshei damu mirma. But he said I could infer it ultimately again from the pasuk in Tehillim. Anshei damu mirma. Those men who spill blood and are deceitful individuals, lo yachzu yimehem, will not even live to half of their lifespan. So we'll say, the assumption is, how long is a lifespan? We assume a lifespan is 70 years. So the pasuk is telling me that deceitful men don't even live to half of their lifetime. So therefore, I would say, Bartlasen utlas shnin, o Bartlasen v'arba, Bila must have been 33 or 34 when he died. The assumption is he's a deceitful individual, therefore he would not have lived till half of his lifetime. Amarle, so the min says, you know what? Shapir kamer, actually shkoyach. You're right. Lididi, chazili pinkase did Bilam. Listen to this. I found Bilam's journal. And what happens? Vavik sivbe, bartlasen utlas shnin Bilam chagira, kat katel yasei Pinchas lista. And I said, that Bilam realized that he was going to die. And he said, I, Bilam the cripple, was killed, was 33 years old. Tlasen utlashnin. I was 33 years old when I was killed by Pinchas the thief, lista. So I say, this is amazing on two levels. First of all, again, so apparently we have Bilam's journal that he recorded before he died, that he was 33 years old, and also that he was killed by Pinchas, right, which is interesting. The Torah Kedosh doesn't tell us that. The Torah tells us he was killed by Klal Yisrael, doesn't tell us who he was killed by, but apparently he was killed by, which is amazing also, because what it says is that Pinchas essentially closed out the unit. Pinchas killed Zimri and Kazbi, thereby stopping the plague that was sparked by the immorality, and then he ends up killing Bilam, whose idea it was ultimately to engage in this immorality. Incredible. Only Marbury Dravina the break. So Marbury Dravina said to his son, Bechulu lo tafes la medrash. In general, when it comes to these individuals who do not have the chelik in Olam Haba, we don't spend too much time learning about them. It's funny that we're learning this now. We've been learning about them for a week and a half. But right, the idea is we don't spend too much time focusing on them in the base medrash. Rashi says over here, Bekulu malochim vehejotos, all of these kings and commoners who we learned about don't have a chiluk in Olam Haba, lo safish sidrosh, we don't spend too much time speaking about them. And we'll say, it's actually a very profound yisod. Why not? Why not? Because we don't like to spend time speaking about the degradation of another Jew. Chutz lebar mi Bilam Arasha. And we'll say, with one exception, Bilam. The Kamed Lemeshkachas Bey, Drosh Bey. The more you can learn about him, the better off you are. In other words, the idea is that when it comes to another Jew, even those Jews who have done terrible things, to it, all right, we learn about it, because you have to learn about what I'm saying, but we don't dwell on it. When it comes to Bilam, whatever is out there, you should learn about.
Why?
I'm sorry?
Why?
Because it teaches us again the Rishos of Bilam. Doe, Ksiv, the Gemara goes by to Ksiv, Doe, Ksiv, Doe. So again, it calls Doeg, Rabbi Osai, it says Doeg two different ways. It says Doeg and it says Doeg. Am Rabbi Yochanan, B'tchilo Yoshev, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'Doeg. So we'll say, which one is it? Is his name Doeg or is his name Doeg? So B'tchilo Yoshev, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'Doeg, Shema Yetzei, Zelat HaBasra. In the beginning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rabbi Osai, and remember, as much as he's known as Doeg HaAdomi, he's a Jew. So we'll say, in the beginning, it says, because in the beginning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was worried, is Doeg going to go off the derech? So you will say, the Ribbono Shel Olam worries about all of his children, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that Doeg has this proclivity or this propensity for negative behavior, and so HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly worried, is he going to make the wrong decisions? Is he going to do that? Is he going to go off the derech? La'acher sheyatza, And after indeed, Doeg had, let's remember again, Doeg made a number of mistakes and committed a number of errors, but primarily, Doeg is primarily responsible for the massacre at Nov. He is the one who comes and tells Shaul that Nov, the city of Kohanim, were aiding and abetting the rebellion of David HaMelech. Now, of course, remember, we know the story, that David comes to Nov, he's running away from Shaul, he tells, good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld, he's going ahead, I didn't see you come in, he's going ahead and David is running away from Shaul because he doesn't want to fight Shaul. He comes to the city of Nov. He says to the people of Nov, do you have weapons and provisions for me? I am on a secret mission from the king. The people of Nov have absolutely no idea what's going on. They give David food and they give him weapons. Doeg sees this. He knows the people of Nov have absolutely no idea about the rift between Shaul and David. But he spins his own narrative and he tells Shaul, you see, the people of Nov are aiding and abetting David. Shaul comes, wipes out Nov. Essentially, Doeg is the one who actively wipes out Nov. After Doeg goes off the derech, Kadosh Baruch Hu calls him Doeg. L'achar she'etzo omer v'oi she'yatza zeh. Whoa, or oi, that this one went off the derech. Oi, that this one committed such a terrible aveira. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, that's why he calls him Doeg. Doeg from notion of oi. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, my dichsib. I will say, what's the meaning of the pasuk? In Tehillim. Matis halal b'ra ha'gibor. Chesed kel kalayom. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu l'Doeg. Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Doeg, Lo gibor b'torah ato. So he said, good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld. Morning. So he says, Amalach HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Doeg. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Doeg, that was your father. Your father, he ratted you out over there. So the Gemara says, Amalach HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Doeg. Lo gibor b'torah ato. Doeg, what are you doing? What are you doing? Are you not great in Torah? Right? Lo gibor Torah b'torah ato. Are you not the gibor in Torah? Matis halal b'ra. What are you going to get from all of this evil behavior? Lo chaser kel matoy alecha kolayom. Ultimately, again, are you look at Rashi for just a moment? Lo chesed kel matoy alecha kolayom. Rashi says over here. Lo chesed torah alecha. Lo chacham b'torah ata dechsev b'torahs chesed alushona. Van Rabbi Yitzchak. So we'll say, Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Doeg, what are you doing? What are you doing? You're a good man. You're a tam tchacham. You have so much Torah in you. Why are you making all of these bad decisions? Is the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu not showering down upon you? All the time? But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying is, and then you have everything going for you. Why are you making these bad decisions? You know what the Torah says. You know what the right thing is. So when you get to the section in the Torah that deals with the punishment for murderers, what are you going to do then? When you get to the section that deals about Mesaper Lashon Hara, speaking of Lashon Hara, what are you going to do then? Or is Doeg? You know better. You understand better. You're a Talmud Chacham. Why are you taking this action? People say, you have to understand something. The incredible Muslim in this is, the Rosh Hashanah says this about us all the time also. When he sees us unfortunately engaging in bad decision making, the Rosh Hashanah says, you know better. You understand better. You learn the Torah. What are you going to do when you get up to the parasha that you know, that tells you that your behavior is negative? Kadosh Baruch Hu looks down on us and says, it's one thing to commit an Aveira because I don't know, but the frustration that the Rosh Hashanah feels when he sees us doing something negative and he knows, you know better than this. You understand better than this. And yet you're still engaging in this behavior. Vatisa brisi apicha. So I will say the pasuk over here. The pasuk over here. In Tehillim, Vatisa brisi apicha. So it says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Ami, Ein torasa shal doeg, Ela misafa ulochos. So I will say, literally what it means is, Vatisa brisi apicha, you carry my covenant on your lips. What does it mean you carry my covenant on your lips? Rabbi Ami says, the Torah of Doeg didn't permeate him. The Torah of Doeg ultimately again remained from his lips on the outside. Rabbi said, we'll discuss, we're going to do a piece tonight in the Eish Kodesh here at 8 o'clock tonight. We're going to discuss this Yisod about how sometimes Torah could be inside of you, sometimes Torah could be outside of you. So apparently, again, Doeg never allowed his Torah to be internalized. He only carried his Torah on his lips. So Rabbi Yitzchak, my dechsev, Vayiru tzadikim, vayiru alavi yisachaku. So say, what does it mean when the pasuk says, and the tzadikim will see Literally, Vayiro could mean as we'll see, either he will fear or he will see, and about him they will rejoice. Betchila Yiro, Ulubasof Yisachaku. In the beginning, look at Rashi, it's on the right hand side column. Betchila Yiro, Hatzadikim HaYureim Shelo Yilmat Adam Imasav Shadoik, Shalach Vachotim Matzliach. But also in the beginning, the Tzadikim saw Doeg, and they were worried that people would learn from Doeg, because Doeg was doing all the wrong things, yet what? He was still being Matzliach, Ulubasof Yisachaku. But in the end, they laughed. And Rabbi Satan laughed because at the end of the day, Doeg got what was coming to him. What's the meaning of the pasuk? Chel bala. So what's over here? The Gemara is quoting from the pasuk in Iov. Chayil bala. Vayikienu mibitno yorishenu kel. Literally, Rabbi Satan, what it means is chayil is treasure. The treasure was swallowed up by yakienu. Ultimately, again, and was akino means like literally to throw it up. Mibitno from his stomach v'yorishenu kel, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu purges it. What does that mean? Amar David v'HaKadosh Baruch Hu. David Mal said to Moshe Shalom, Ribono Shalom, Yomus Doeg. Yomus Doeg. Hakadosh Baruch Hu davens that Doeg, David Mal davens that Doeg should die. Why should Doeg die? David Mal says he's such a Rasha, and he is committing so many tabas. Moshe said, person's a Rasha, and he's a Rasha between himself and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, fine. But Doeg is responsible for so much bloodshed. Doeg is responsible for so much destruction. So David says he should die. Amar lo, Chayil Bala. Chayil Bala. So Chayil Bala, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, listen, literally, he's swallowed treasure. In other words, he has so much Torah. Doeg is a great Talmud Chacham. He's learned so much Torah, that Torah protects him. Vayakienu. So Amr the father mibitno yorishenu kel. So it says Vayakienu. Hakadosh Baruch Hu says when he throws up the Torah, in other words, when he divests himself of the Torah, then I'll punish him. I says Amr says Amr the father mibitno yorishenu. Baruch Shalom, why don't you take away his Torah? V'Rav Yitzchak Ma'idichsev. So pasuk over here quotes from Tehillim. Gam kel yitatzcha lanetzach. Amr Hakadosh Baruch Hu leDavid. Nisi Doeg la'amud asi. So we'll say, listen to this. Hakadosh Baruch Hu says, David HaMelech, I'd like Doeg to go to Olam Haba. Amar the fun of, Gam al yitatzcha lanetzach, Mai dichsev yachtucha. So we'll say now, the Gemara is quoting again. First of all, it's just amazing, the whole Yisod. That's what? That Hakadosh Baruch Hu speaks to David HaMelech about who's going to go to Olam Haba. Right? The nature of that incredible relationship. But that's the covenant Hakadosh Baruch Hu has for David HaMelech. Mai dichsev, what's the meaning of the pasuk? Gam kel yitatzcha lanetzach, yachtucha. I'm sorry, I'm reading the wrong pasuk. Mai dichsev, gam kel yitatzcha lanetzach, yachtucha, v'yisacha me'oa v'sharshecha, me'eretz chayim sela. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, le'mosh ma'ite be'midrash. Suppose that this is still the conversation between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and David HaMelech about Doeg. So remember, David HaMelech is davening for the death, demise, and eradication of Doeg. He wants Doeg to be destroyed, doesn't want Doeg to have a chiklum haba. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants Doeg to have some vestige of success. Let them say over the teachings of Doeg in his name in the base medrash. Amar Lefanav, Yachter v'yisacha mi'ohel. No, let Doeg be cut off from the tent. The tent being a reference to Torah. Lehavi le b'nin rabbanon. So let his sons be tamid chachamim. V'shar shecham eretz chayim sel. Darma says, no, let his roots be uprooted from the earth. His children should be tamid chachamim. Amar v'yitzchak, mai dichsev, ayesu. So what's the meaning of the pasuk? Ayisofer esamigadlim. So I should say Ayisofer. Must go here quoting the pasuk from Yeshaya. Ayisofer, who is the one who counts? Ayishokel, who is the one who measures? Ayisofer esamigdalim, who is the one who counts the towers? What is this in reference to? Ayisofer kol osio shevet Torah. But say the Gemara understands this is all a reference to Doeg HaAdomi, who was a great Talmud Chacham. Who is the one who counts the letters in the Torah? Aye Shokel, Shoshokel, Kol, Kalim, V'chamurim. Who is the one who counts all the Kal, V'chamurim of the Torah? This is all reference to Doeg. Aye Sofer, Samigdalim. Who is the one who counts the towers? Aye Sofer, Shlosh, Me'os, Halachos, Psukos, B'migdal, Haporech, Ba'avir. Who is the one who knows 300 halachos within the, both say, in the subject of Migdal Haporech Ba'avir? What's the case of Migdal Haporech Ba'avir? So we'll say, Rashi in the left-hand side column quotes about four or five different interpretations of this. We're just going to use one of them. Take a look at three lines down in the right-hand column from the top. B'Migdal Haporech Ba'avir HaNichnas Arzana. We'll say, remember, we've seen this case many times about the case of an enclosure. We know that Chazal, where goes there, that there is a Tumah. There is a rabbinic impurity, rabbinic Tumah on Eretz Ha'amim, on any land outside of Eretz Yisrael, because outside of Eretz Yisrael they were not careful about where they buried the dead. So it's an interesting halachic discussion about what happens if you go, if you hover over Eretz Ha'amim. You go into Eretz Ha'amim in an enclosure. Do you become Tameh or not? So Rabbi Yosai Doi Gadol apparently knew 300 halachas in this particular subject. So the Gemara goes right there. So, Amarav, Arba Meya Baya Bo Doig Vachi Tofel B'Migdal Parech B'Avir. So Rav said, Doig and Achi Tofel knew 400 shaylas in this area of halacha, below Ifshit Luchad, and not one of them was resolved. Amar Rava, Rabusa Lemi Boi Boi. So the Gemara says, so Rava says, is it such a big deal, is it such a great accomplishment to ask questions? So he will say, asking questions is wonderful. You know what's even better than asking questions? Is answering those questions. That you could come up with 400 questions on anything, shkoyach, you don't get a shkoyach for that. The shkoyach ultimately, again, Rabbi Yosai, is in the answering of those questions. Let's go a little bit weiter. Bishani Rabbi Huda, Kulei Tenei Ben Ezekin. Rabbi Yosai, listen to this. After all, the Gemara proves why asking questions is not the be-all, end-all of spiritual or religious accomplishment. In the years of Rabbi Huda, the people knew Tenei Ben Ezekin, right? They knew the Seder of Nezekin. Va'anan, and we ka masninon tuva bo'oktsin. See, Rabbi says we. So the Gemara is comparing. Rava is comparing his generation to the generation of Rabbi Yehuda. In the generation of Rabbi Yehuda, all they knew was nezikin. Rabbi says, generally, out of all the sedarim, nezikin is considered to be quote unquote the easiest. Right, we're in nezikin because it's Torah law. Right, it's laws of damage, meaning a lot of it is intuitive. A lot of it is also spelled out. So in the years of Rabbi Yehuda, they were proficient in the Seder of Nezikin. Rava says, in our generation, we know Uktzin. Rabbi said, Uktzin contains all of the halachos of Tuma and Tara. And I will say, in the years of Rabbi Yehuda, when they would get to a section about Rabbi Yehuda, the ritual purity, literally it's, if a woman goes ahead and pickles olives or pickles some other vegetable with its stalk. So the shayla that often comes up is, what is the status of the stalk? What's the ritual status of the stalk? And when they would get to this, Amar, Havios to Rabbi Shmuel Kachazin Hacha, Rabbi Yehuda said, oh, these type of shaylas, these are the shaylas dealt with by Rabbi Yehuda, the previous generations. Va'anon, Kamasninan Bo'oksin Tlas Sari Mesifta. And Rabbi say, we have 13 yeshivas that are learning Oktsin. What Rava is saying is, we perhaps are much greater Talmidei Chachamim than Rabbi Yehuda. We're learning a lot more Torah than Rabbi Yehuda learned. Rabbi Yehuda, listen to this. Rabbi Yehuda, Shalach Mesanai Va'asa Nitra. Yet when Rabbi Yehuda would remove his shoe, it would begin to rain. Va'anon Tzavchim V'leket D'mashkach Ban. And we daven all the time, and yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't answer our tefillos. We'll say, what is happening over here? And also, by the way, the removing of the shoe represents a distress. When Rabbi Yehuda was in distress, meaning when the Jewish was in distress and they needed rain, Rabbi Yehuda would remove his shoe as a sign of distress and it begin to rain. We'll say, what is Rava saying? We'll say, this is such a profound yisod for us. What Rava was saying was, you know, at the end of the day, just because we know more Torah doesn't mean we are greater. V'haraya, we know more Torah than the generation of Rabbi Yehuda, Rav is saying. Yet, Rabbi Yehuda was so much greater. All he needed to do was remove his shoe, and the rain would come. We know so much more Torah, yet we go ahead and we daven, and the rain doesn't come. Rather, what do you see from here? Ella, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Liba Boy. I will say, what a beautiful, beautiful Gemara. What the Ribbono Shel Olam will say is most focused on is, he wants our hearts. Rachmana Liba Boy. The Moshe also knows, you know, they'll say, we know this. A person can learn Torah from here until tomorrow. Yet they could be sarcastic. They could be cynical. They're not observant in certain areas of halacha. They disparage certain areas of halacha. So it's great that I'm learning from here until tomorrow. That's not what the Moshe wants. The Moshe wants me to learn. But you know, Chashbaruch is going to put my heart into my Yiddishkeit. Chashbaruch doesn't just want me to learn as an intellectual exercise. God doesn't want me just to go ahead and absorb pieces of information, but he wants that information to change me. He wants that Torah to elevate me. He wants that Torah ultimately to infuse holiness through my veins. He wants it to become not just a person who learns Torah, but a cheftza shal Torah, a cheftza shal kiddusha, rachmana liba boy. So if you know what the difference between us and Rabbi Yehuda is, we have a lot of yeshivas where we learn Torah. Rabbi Yehuda might have had fewer yeshivas, But whatever he learned, he lived. Whatever he learned, he internalized. Whatever he learned, ultimately, he allowed ultimately to change him into a cheftz, into an object of kedusha. We'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up a mitzvah with Amrad Meshashia tomorrow. Shaya.